We've just celebrated sort of the beginning of the gospel story, but that's not all there is. It's a story that travels on a wing and a prayer and a dream. Last week, we turned again to a dreamer by the name of Joseph. Joseph, the father of Jesus. Of course, we always have to put that within a caveat. Because as we recalled last Sunday, Joseph had to struggle with some news he received from his betrothed. She was pregnant. And that child was not his responsibility. And yet, as we heard once again, the story, as we have received it, he was visited in a dream. And based upon that dream, he took up responsibility to be the earthly father, a child named Jesus. We continue the story, kind of jumping over, as Matthew tells it, that part of the story that deals with some magi traveling from the east. We're going to kind of bounce back to that next Sunday, because that's Epiphany, and that's the story that surrounds it. This is sort of after that. The story of a man who paid attention to dreams. It's Joseph. It's interesting that Joseph here has the same name as another Joseph in the Bible. Joseph, you recall, if you turn towards the latter part of the book of Genesis, was one of the sons of who? Anyone? Anyone? Say it out loud. Jacob. That's right. Who was renamed what? Israel. That's right. We're talking about the children of Israel. And Joseph, as you may recall in that long convoluted story, I don't want to go into too much detail, but Joseph sort of, in telling about his dreams, sort of hadn't got the point yet in his life where you don't brag about yourself. Even if he wasn't really bragging, it still sounded that way to his brothers, and his brothers had enough of it, and they ended up, instead of killing him, which, you know, some siblings feel like doing, right, at certain times in life, they sold him into slavery, and he went to where? Egypt. Interesting parallel in stories, isn't there? Went to Egypt. And there in Egypt, in jail, he kind of practiced his craft. And eventually, word got to Pharaoh about it, who was having himself some disturbing dreams, didn't know how to interpret them. And guess who the interpreter became? Joseph. And Joseph, because of his skill with dreams, a God-given skill, he sort of was put in charge of the granary through a time of drought. And in the middle of that drought, his family had to come to Egypt because they were without food. And perhaps you know that story, but this is the story of how the children of Israel got to Egypt. Of course, there in Egypt, the day came after Joseph was dead. And our Jewish friends remember this and look at the ending of the book of Genesis as kind of bittersweet. Because, yes, Joseph was sort of the deliverer, if you will, of his family. He was also the one that led them into Egypt, because a time came when a Pharaoh was put on the throne who did not remember Joseph. And the children of Israel, well, you know the story. And you know the story of another deliverer that God had to give in Egypt. A deliverer by the name of Moses. But that's another story. But note the parallels here in Matthew's gospel. This is sacred story, folks. Now, I don't want to necessarily psychologize too much about Joseph, because this is sharing the story from a theological point of view, if you will, to help us to make the connections. Here we have the explanation from Matthew's perspective of how Jesus became Jesus of Nazareth. Beginning in Bethlehem, going through a very difficult situation. Now, I don't want to psychologize too much, but I try to imagine what it must have been like to receive this first dream. I guess it's the second dream in Matthew's case, for Joseph. The dream to get up, to uproot, and to leave not just Bethlehem, but leave Judea, leave Israel, and head down into Egypt. I mean, Egypt is not necessarily remembered fondly in the Bible, is it? And yet, the gospel story heads into Africa. I think that's a thing we need to point out, right? Those of you who have been there, I mean, Sudan is further south. The Sudanese people, now I was doing some reading in the previous week, the Sudanese people trace some of their ancestry back to biblical times. They make a biblical connection for themselves, right? Do you pay attention to your dreams? Last night, I'm not going to go into it because you don't share such things in the large group, but I had a dream. I wasn't sure exactly what to do with it. It was one of those strange dreams. You never have any of those strange dreams, do you? And in that point between REM sleep, you know the stages of that we've discovered happen with sleep. There's the deep sleep where you don't dream, you rest, you know. But there's that REM area where your mind, the back part of your mind is going, and then there's the conscious point. And then in that space between REM sleep and conscious sleep, I was going through this dream of trying to figure out what on earth was that about. You ever do that? What was going on there? You know, what was my mind trying to process? You probably never do that, do you? Maybe all the time. What was that about? You know, actually, this is good. This is actually good. This is how your brain, you know, it's a God-given thing, I believe. It's a God-given way that your brain cleans house. Okay? I mean, do you think there's no cobwebs up there? You think there's nothing that needs kind of some sweeping? Ah, there's a lot up there that needs to get processed. And that's what dreams do. But you know, this morning when I woke up and I started thinking, what was that all about, and trying to figure out it all, I asked the question that we always need to be asking as well. I mean, when it comes to the stuff that happens around us in our wakeful times, there's a question we should be asking. What is God doing here? You know, when things happen at work or in school or whatever, you know, and you're wondering, well, what was that person up to? What was going on there? Well, you know, all the... Well, we need to be asking, okay, God, what are you doing? That's a part of our daily walk with Christ, you know. Asking that question. And it's a question that also should be asked in sleep. Okay, and that's a question. Okay, God, what were you doing there? What, did you have anything there? Well, I'm not going to go through that because that's my own personal walk, and I'll share it with, you know, one-on-one, but not in a large group. But what we've got here, I believe, is kind of the answer to that question. Certainly, a visit by some strange men from the East would have been enough to cause Joseph to clean some house upstairs. Just like he had to clean some house earlier when he received that fretful news about his betrothed being pregnant. And God spoke through angels and gave direction. And you heard the story. It was a warning. Warnings can come in dreams. And we need to pay attention to them. And it's probably good to share that with other persons. So it's not just revolving around upstairs here, but that others are able to help us weave through some of that. Do you think Joseph shared with Mary what was going on? I would hope so. Do you think he shared with somebody else? Well, he must have shared, because we've got this, right? And it wasn't just one dream. It was one dream that took him down into Egypt. And you heard the story. And it's a terrible story, really. But it's a story that's told all over the place on this globe, even today. Terrible things happen. I mean, those of you who were in Sudan, you probably heard the stories. What happened there? The lost boys? The others? It's just a continuation of the same old, same old. Humanity's inhumanity to itself. Children dying needlessly. Terrible things. And a king, insecure in his own throne, resolving to have children killed just to prevent somebody who might be a threat to his power. It's disgusting. And that it happens in this world, in large ways and in small ways. And where's God in all of this? That's one of our daylight questions. It's kind of a daymare question. God, what are you doing in all of these situations? And we believe that God is active. God is answering. And here he's sending his deliverer and protecting his deliverer, who was sent to that place that was a place of captivity and slavery, and yet it became a safe place. Imagine that! Pharaoh's home becoming a safe place for the Messiah, the deliverer. And when the person, Herod, died, there was another dream that Joseph had to pay attention to. And yet, I think, how many dreams were in here? I'm thinking two or three. A dream that led them to Nazareth. But the point is, are we paying attention to our dreams? Not just dreams of, oh, I'd like to do this someday, but the dreams of God. Because the gospel of God travels on that very thin thread. And sometimes it is so thin, you wonder how? I mean, this thread of just an infant in our species, that is the most vulnerable point in life. Babies are dependent, totally. Just a thin thread. And it could have been broken like that. And yet a dream warned and guided and protected. God's good news travels on a wing and a prayer and a dream. Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? That's an appropriate question as we journey towards the end of this year and start again with a brand new slate. Keep listening. Amen.